sometimes I think back to some of the classics that they had us read when we were in high school. And some of them really were classics. I enjoyed reading a lot of them, actually. But I think about it, the fact that like a lot of them had like a terrible, terrible message. Ad kedei kach, I think that in a certain way it warps me until this very day. Here's a famous one. You had the story, the parable of a bunch of chazerim who go and decide to take over a farm because the human beings are ruthless and it's not fair. Why are human beings any better than chazerim? And, you know, there's liberty and there's equality and everybody's working together and it's gewaldic. It's really inspiring, you know. Until the most ruthless chazer goes and he knocks out all the other chazerim and all the other animals. And by the time you get to the book, end of the book, so the chazerim have become just as bad as human beings. They're getting drunk and they're ruling over everybody. And the message that you're left with is basically, listen, you know, inspired good ideas of everybody being free and everybody being equal only last for a certain amount of time. But at the end of the day, the rotten nature of the world and of human beings and of all rulership is going to come and emerge, and it's going to be just as bad as it was in the beginning. The same guy wrote about, you know, totalitarianism, people living under a totalitarian regime. When he wrote it, it was like a futuristic type of thing. Now it's well into the past. And, you know, you sort of get hope that even when there's totalitarianism, so the human spirit will break through. You can't squash the human spirit. At the end of the book, you get to the conclusion, yes, you can. The human spirit is going to lose because the world is evil. It's an evil place, a bad place. And you can go on and on and on and on and, you know, give more examples of this twisted, warped view of the world. It's really bad, though, because you tend to develop a pessimistic view on life that no matter what, okay, the world is going to be wrought with problems and that's the way that it's going to be and that's really the way that it should be. Not Jewish. The Ramchal has a problem that how is it even possible that there's rot in the world? How is it even possible that there's bad in the world? Michok atayv lehetiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is total good. And therefore, the fact that there's anything bad in the world is a chiddush atzum. And we say it every day in davening. We finish with Aleinu, Alkein Nekav Lecha. What are we hoping for? L'takein Olam Mamalchus Shakai. The world is going to be fixed up with the kingdom of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything's going to be perfect. B'chol Arisha Kula Ka'ashen Tichle. All of the evil is going to dissipate like a cloud. It doesn't even belong there. Like smoke. There's no substance to it. V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be the king over the world. Bayoy mahu yiyeh Hashem echad u'shmei echad. On that day, Hashem's name is going to be one. We're going to see that there's only one real existence in the world. And we connect to that existence. And that's the reason that we're here. We're here so that at the end of time, we could perceive totally that there's only one real existence in the world, one single unified existence. We're going to relate to that existence. There's not going to be any geschmack, any pleasure like connecting with that existence. And the only thing is, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to appreciate it. So he sort of frustrated us for like about 6,000 years. And we have to get rid of all of this bad stuff. And all of the bad stuff, the Ramchal tells us, this is really interesting. There's nothing that's really, really bad in the world. Everything that we see that's like bad, you know, like the Boston Celtics, you know, whatever. It's really just like a perverted form of good. The raya is that there's nothing in the world that's so bad that you can't have pleasure from it. You know? Even masochists enjoy hurting themselves. You can have pleasure from anything. So even bad is like a twisted form of good. And our job is just to get rid of all the yunkles, get rid of all the twists, get rid of all the bad, and if we don't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do it for us, and then all that's going to be left is total good and connection with that good. We connect with that good and we realize that this good, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, B'chvayu ba'atzma, Hashem Echad U'shmai Echad, is better than all the cake, and it's better than all the nachas that you have from kids, and it's better than all the covet that you could have even at the yeshiva dinner, and it's better than all the power that you can have even if you're the president of the United States, leader of the free world. The best is just realizing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there, doing everything, and we have a relationship with Him. Okay. I learned something new today. Who's going to be the Rebbe at the end of 6,000 years, and who's going to teach us this lesson? Who's going to, like, you know, open up the curtain and say, ta-da, this is what it was all about for 6,000 years. You know what it is? It's a Yalkut Shemayni in Yeshaya, and the name of the man who's going to do it, along with some other people, is Kairach. Yalkut tells us, end of 6,000 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take down the Merkava. He's going to take down the Sur Shalmala. V'yas arba chayas mitachas galgali Merkava. Maimides kisay letzad echad. He's going to take the Sur Shalmala, put him on the side, bring down the Merkava, whatever that means. Umale es kairach v'yas adasay. And he's going to bring up Kairach and his whole congregation, Mishael, from down below where they were for a very, very long time. Umevi lifnei kol bayolam. He's going to bring him in front of all the people in the world. Va'im alehem. He's going to say to them, Klum re'isem keil acher mibaladai. Did you see any other power, any real power, other than me, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Vashemayim imal, aretz mitachas, oy ba'arbez ruches ha'olam. Ve'idu bi, and Kairach, and all of his people are going to be made. V'taymru, emes, it's true. Meshivim kulam safa achas. All of them are going to say it in one voice. Bifnei kol bayolam lo yirainu kamecha bayolam el kavah shemayim mimal v'sitam yaretz mitachas. Kel melech kamecha, ein melech kamecha. There's no king like you. Ve'ein tzur biltecha atem edai niyum Hashem. So the one who's going to be called up from down below to say edus. There is nothing else in the world except for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and He's the sole power to everything. There's only good and no evil, is Kairach. Very interesting. What's it got to do with Kairach? And what are we supposed to take from all this? Honestly, I'll tell you that Kairach, it's not my favorite parsha. It's definitely up there, you know, in the top three. Why? We've got a very engaging storyline. There's plenty of violence, and but the main reason is because Kairach, if you think about it, Kairach was a sick lamdan. He was like a really, really big lamdan. He has a whole world view, you know, whatever, a modern Democrat or ancient Democrat or whatever. Kol ha'eda kulam kadeshu m'seichem Hashem, madu tisnasu akal Hashem. Everybody's equal. What do you need one Moshe Rabbeinu for? And then he backs it up with riots. Beged shekula tcheles, bayishim olei svarim. What do you need one guy to be machshir the whole thing? What do you need one strand of tcheles to be machshir the whole thing? Everybody talk to Hashem. He has good tainas. And Kayach is a pikeach. Kayach is a loikeach. He's a bal charisma. Everybody loves him. He pulls 250 rashi sanhedrois. Most of Klal Yisrael is just under Korach's spell. Amazing, right? But he's wrong. He's dead wrong. He ends up sinking into the ground and, you know, he's gone. He goes down in history as like the biggest loser. So Chazal asked, Korach pikeach hoya. Korach was very, very smart. Marah lishtozeh. The 250 people committed suicide. But Korach was a pikeach. He thought he's going to get away with it. Why? So Rashi brings the Chazal over here that he saw Shmuel's going to come out of him. He thought that, you know, I have a future, so it's going to be me. Somehow I'm going to survive. Svarim HaKadoshim say it in a different lashon, that Korach saw that there was an electricity, there was a power that was coming out of his lineage. He had something to contribute to the future of Klal Yisrael that couldn't be squelched. And the Maisa, this Yalkut that you see in Yalkut Shemaini, I mean, you see what Korach's tafkid is. Korach's tafkid was is that he was going to be Megala Yichud Hashem. He sort of does it anyway, right? He spends a long time down below, and then in the end, we pick him back up, and he has to say, Maida, I was wrong. But he could have done it the right way. He could have showed everybody there's absolutely nothing in the world that's worth anything except for a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem Echad, Shema Echad, Moshe Rabbeinu is his one Navi, Aaron HaKohen is his one Kohen. But he decided to do it his way, and he thought that his way had a future. The question I have, and you know, whatever, and there's a big message that comes from it, is that why is it that it's this Korach, this one Korach, you know, this super Lamdan who goes and he's, you know, he's Chelek on Moshe Rabbeinu, why is he the one person whose tafkid in history is to be Megala Yichud HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Why him? What does it have to do with his personality? Why the fact that he could see all the flaws in Moshe Rabbeinu's system, come up with his whole ideology that everybody bought into? Why is it that he's the one that's going to say at the end of the day, Hashem Echad Ushmai Echad, Meida Allah Emes, Hashem Emes, Moshe Emes, Vesayrasa Emes, and everything that I made up, it makes a lot of sense, but sorry, sinks into the ground. Why? What's it got to do with Korach? The more you think about it, though, the answer is very, very pashut. Very pashut. And a big lesson to us as well, as Be'ez Hashem will soon see. There's a story of the Brisker Rav, which I wasn't aware of either until last night, but I don't know, maybe it's a famous story, I just never heard it or whatever, but they tell you, it's Spitz Brisker Rav. They tell the story, the Brisker Rav was a little boy, and Reb Chaim told him, listen, I need a stamp from the post office. Post office was, you guys know what a post office is, mail or whatever. It's almost gone, right? Here in Israel, you don't use the mail anymore. You use something called Hamish post because it's a little less Hamish than the real post. That's what Rabbi Raymond says. But yeah, used to be that, you know, you would go get a stamp in the post office, and Reb Chaim said to the Brisker Rav, you know, go get some stamps. We need to send out some mail. Brisker Rav, the Tata says, so he goes out, he starts running across town, and it's cold, and it starts pouring, and pouring, and pouring, and you know, one of the Baal Batim and Brisk sees this little kid running across town in the pouring rain. He says to him, you know, Velvela, come in! What are you doing? What are you running across town? He says, the Tata said, I gotta get a stamp. At the post office. There's no problem. We have lots of stamps over here. You want to pay for it. You don't want to pay for it. I'll give you a stamp. He slammed the door and ran back outside. The Tata said that you got to go to the post office. Can't take it from you. That's not what I was asked to do. Is he Meshuggah? Is he not Meshuggah? Or whatever? He's a Brisker. That's for sure, right? But there's a message behind that. Message behind that, that the way that you got it from somebody bigger than you, you don't ask any questions, you just go do it. Maybe to an extreme. But you do it because maybe he had a reason that I'm not aware of. So I'm going to make my own decision. Another story, a famous story, as Chiluke Deus is the, what you know, the Ikra Masli Lahachi, Ikra Masli Lahachi. I heard this story from Rabbi Shurkin. Rabbi Shurkin tells a story that in Kelm, so the first day of the Zman once, the base medrash was locked up. And one of the Bachrim, you know, climbed up to a window and opened up from the inside and opened up so everybody had morning seder the first day of the Zman. And the Alter heard about it. He threw the guy out of the yeshiva because in Kelm we don't do such things. A Bachr doesn't climb through a window, even for morning seder. And then Rabbi Shurkin says, and that's why we don't learn in Kelm. Other version of the story that Rav Hillel Zaks brings it in, they bring it in the Sefer, is that it wasn't that he climbed through a window, but there was a fence. There was a fence with a little stump, you know, like three tefachim high, and then a gate. And the gate was locked. And the rule was, is it doesn't pass for a yeshiva bachur to climb over a gate. So they were waiting for the key, but they didn't have the key. So finally, one guy just scaled the gate and, you know, whatever it is, and, you know, opened up for everybody. I mean, everybody went in for morning seder. And Alter didn't say that he threw him out of the yeshiva, but like 6 months later, he was giving a shmooze and he said, "You probably think that what the guy did was obvious." He said, "No, parents get a yeshchen and rachash. When there's a rule in a yeshiva that you don't scale the gate, you don't just go scale the gate. Because there's a rule for a reason, and there may be a lot of things that you didn't come into your, you know, we're trying to build a certain type of a human being. And therefore, you don't just go ahead and just break it just because of the fact that misvara, it seems that way to you." Two different ways of looking at things. Number one is that, look, it's obvious, you know. Take the stamp from the Baal bus and go home to your father. Your father doesn't want you to get wet. But you have a certain type of training that I can't answer that myself. It's more important that just this is what I was told, this is what I do. If anything, I'll try to figure out why my father said that way. The other way is that no, svar pshuta, forget about it. Forget about what the halacha is. Forget about what was. Forget about what the mesira was. That's the difference between Korach and Moshe Rabbeinu. Korach was the person who could have brought out the truth. Why? Because Korach was such a super London. Korach saw the system so clearly that he saw all the flaws with what was given down to them. How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Melech? How could it be that Aaron HaKohen is the Kohen? It doesn't make any sense. Kol Eina Kula Kedoshim. It makes much more sense the other way. Okay, now you have two choices. Choice number one is say, okay, it doesn't make sense. Buck the system. It must be wrong. Or B, no. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. He doesn't make it up. It must be that despite my lumdis, there's a knetcha over here that I'm not aware of. You never understand the Baal HaMor as well as after you saw the Melchamis and you try to answer up all of his questions. That's what being a Lamdan does to you. And it's bedafka when you have all the questions and you answer them up, then you can appreciate what the real truth is. Korach should have done that. But he went with his kinna, he went with his Yetzer Hara, and he tried to flop it over and say, no, not Moshe Rabbeinu's way, my way. And therefore, he has to be the one who's made al emes at the end of history to say that I was wrong. It really is right. And everybody will see exactly why. But had he done it the right way, he could have brought it out through his lumdis by showing, look at this unbelievable system. This is the way that it should be. So why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu say that? Ah. Chapti Yisayid. This is why Moshe Rabbeinu said it. Because there has to be unity. Because it has to be Hashem Echad. It has to be Manig Echad. It has to be Torah Achas. There's a leket over there. Korach should have brought it out himself. Unfortunately, we have to see it ourselves based on what happened to Korach. You know, one of the things that I like about having multiple jobs, I mean, just the second Seder and you have Halacha Seder, so, you know, you get to talk about the people who are not there. You know, so just use Halacha Seder as an example for a lot of things. We all know, we were all first year Bachurim, right? You were first year Bachurim, like, but I was a first year Bachur too, so I know what it feels like to be a first year Bachur. There are always certain pet complaints you get every year. So, like, usually, you know, second Seder, it's like it's the Iyun Bekiyus thing or whatever it is. People are becoming more and more mode as years go on, so it's becoming less of an issue, unless they're just not telling me about it, you know. But in Halacha Seder, so it's always like, why do we have to learn Mishnah Berurah? Why not Arch HaShulchan? Why not Arch HaShabbos? Why not, you know, whatever it is, English books? That's number one. Number two is, what's it called? If we're learning Shabbos that year, so then we always, then there's always, why are we learning Shabbos? No one understands this stuff, right? We should be learning Chelek Aleph, Chelek Beis. And if we're learning Chelek Aleph, Chelek Beis, so then people say, what? Yeah, I don't know Hilchos Shabbos. So if you're smart, you don't fight with people because you're not going to win. And a lot of times I've found, this is very interesting, use this for yourselves in future years. A lot of times when a person wants to do something that's against the system, a lot of times that's what fires him up and keeps him going. Otherwise he'll stop coming to the Halacha Seder altogether. He's got to prove that his way is going to work. But to me it's always very interesting. Because, alright, listen, you really want to know, go ask the Rosh Yeshiva. No, but no one wants to do that because you're afraid that the Rosh Yeshiva will be brutally honest with you with what he really thinks of your question. And no one wants to hear that, right? But the other way of looking at it is, okay, fine, listen, somebody decided this way. I can either decide to do things my way, or I could try to work out that despite the lumdus that I have, and everyone always has good lumdus, there's merit to it. I had the same lumdus in, so I understand. I was first year and second year and fourth year and 35th year and, you know, whatever it is. Been there, done that. But when you have a kasha on the lumdus, the way to look at it is, okay, fine, so it is a problem. So what's he thinking? Sometimes the situation is bad enough that, you know, okay, fine, you have to find an individual way. But most of the time, when you have a situation that somebody, whether it's Reb Chaim Brisker, whether it's the Alter from Kelm, whether it happens to be, you know, whatever, the Rosh Yeshiva, or your Rebbe, person supposed to be Machem as Rabbi, make his Rebbe smart. Look at it, his Rebbe said something, his Rebbe's not a fool. He's been doing that for a while. What's he thinking? Come on. He probably had my kasha also. Or if he didn't, so then he overlooked it because he had the answer already. That type of lumdus is what makes a person into a lamdin hashalim. Lumdus for the sake of bashing down and breaking apart the other thing, so that only gets you halfway. As far as being a shalim as a human being, so certainly it's not the way to be a misnagid. It's a way of taking a system that you're working within, respecting the people who are chachamim and experienced people who made up the system, and working out the glitches, getting answers. Sometimes there's even a teku. It doesn't kill you. But Be'ezer Hashem, if everybody has that attitude, so you end up seeing the merit in everything. Nothing is perfect on every side. Nothing is ever perfect on every side. But working within a system and pulling it together, that's what Korach should have done. Since he didn't, unfortunately, we have to do it for him until the day that we should soon get to, the day where Korach comes and tells us, I was wrong, he was right, and there is no other power in the world other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Moshe is it. So even though my lumdus seemed to make much more sense, obviously you gotta work out the kasha, and that's the way that it goes. Everybody should have a good Shabbos.